firm, this is foundational. So open your Bible to the book of James. I'm not into the sermon. I'm just as I was speaking, that has come to my spirit. The foundation, if I'm going to be transformed. What does it mean to be transformed, by the way? What does it mean to be transformed? Young people, what does it mean to be transformed? You say something is transformed. What does that mean? Young person? To be transformed, what does that mean? To be changed? Yes. Is another young person there? Any other word? Sorry? Yes, say.
Metamorphosis.
Yeah, exactly. Amen. And I know I've taught it in this church severally, and I'm going to say it again, because meditation is repetition. When you are walking with God, because God is perfect, if you are truly walking with God, you will be changing. If you are not changing, you are not walking with God. Me 10 years ago is not me today. I've changed. For the better. Amen. I've not changed for the worse. Amen. If you are walking with God, you should be proud to say, I've changed, but for the better. So if you knew me 10 years ago, you are meeting the better version. Many things I used to do then, I'm not doing anymore. I'm doing it differently because I have more light. I can see. Amen. When you see, you can't repeat the same things. Amen. Because now you know better. Amen. And that's what we talk about, transformation. Transformation is the journey of the believer. As you walk with God, you grow. But the net effect of growth is change. Amen. If I'm growing, I'm changing. And I'm changing for the better, not for the worse. Amen. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm changing for the better. Anybody who doesn't want to be better, you just want to remain the same. You say, you know me, that's what I used to be 10 years ago. I'm still the same. No, I'm growing. Amen. I'm getting better and better. And what's the principle? James chapter 4. Go to James 4. So I do a bit of preaching and a bit of teaching. James 4. I've told this. Sometimes I've told this over and over again, but it bears repetition. It's the principle of transformation. James 4, verse 7 to verse 10. Yes, James 4, 7 to 10. Who is ready? New King James or New Living. Anyone can read in this church. Yes. Let's see. James 4, 7 to 10. Please just follow as she reads.
James 4 is a New Living Translation. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart, from your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor.
Amen. Can you just read verse 6?
And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Amen. You know, many times, I like this one. Keep it going. It's good. I like to smile myself. Amen. Many times, I hear Christians saying, God, give me grace. Amen. Sometimes you hear Christians, sometimes you may hear a message that you talk about the gospel of grace. I'm not saying there's no gospel of grace, but I'm telling you that it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is grace. Amen? Jesus Christ is what? It's grace. But it's not just grace. It's grace and what? Anybody knows? Yes. John chapter 1 said, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came to Jesus. So when people say the gospel of grace, yeah, it's correct, but it's not totally correct because it's grace and truth. So the way to say it is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's complete. That's more complete. Amen? That's what? More complete. Are you with me? So I need grace. Do you need grace? Please, if you need grace, raise your hands. I could never make it without the grace of God. Amen? He said, for God so loved the world, and the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not what? Perish. But have what? So I want to tell you something now. I made Jesus my Lord. So I'm telling you, I will not perish in Jesus' name. To perish is not just to die. When someone dies physically, that's small. It's not desirable, and I don't pray for anybody. I want you to live a long life. Then when you're 100, you have to permit yourself to die. Otherwise, you will not be able to help yourself anymore in this world, yeah? So I pray long life for you. You will live long. But we will not just live long. You will live a life that glorifies God. Amen. But physical death is not the worst thing. Yeah? The worst thing is to perish. What does it mean to perish? What does it mean to say someone has perished? What does it mean? I'm assuming that it's not just physical death. Yes? More? What's worse than physical death?
Spiritual.
Eternal. Let me explain. For someone to perish means that they are cut off from God eternally. They are cut off from fellowship with God. They are cut off from the goodness of God. They are cut off from the light of God. They are cut off from the presence of God. Although you can never leave the presence of God. But they are cut off from the goodness and the light of God. A spirit can never die because spirits came out of God. And God is eternal. A spirit cannot die. Amen? Animals die and that's the end. But when God was creating man, He said, He created him from the dust. Yeah? So you are dust, but you are not just dust. I'm not just dust. And that's good news. I'm not just dust. He created him from the dust, yeah? But that was not the end. The Bible says, and God breathed into him the breath of life. That's not oxygen. Because as at that time, the animals were already breathing oxygen. Yeah, He created the animals before them, they were breathing oxygen. His spirit. The breath. Is what? His spirit. So actually, you're an eternal being. You came out of God. Amen? I mean, you didn't come out of God directly now. You were reproduced by your parents. But it's the law of reproduction. One spirit, Adam, reproducing Eve, reproducing any other person. It's multiplication. A spirit is eternal. To perish is for a spirit. See, when you're in this world, you see, have access to God because of His grace and His what? His mercy. Amen. You can repent in this world. You can change course. Amen. You can be changed. You can be transformed. But after a person dies, whatever they did on earth, that's the choice they made with their life. That says that they are set in stone forever with that choice. And if they didn't choose God, they didn't choose Jesus, they didn't let Him reign over their life, they were not, you know, I was explaining that own fellowship. I said, because I think sometimes people get it twisted, say, okay, I want to visit one of my sisters, and I say, I'm coming to your house, and I need you to let me in. Yeah? I say, yes, I agree, I'm going to let you in. So I come over there, and I keep knocking. You keep saying, oh, I'm letting you in. But you never opened the door. Have you let me in? Have you let me in? No. Okay. But there's another one that is deceptive. You open the door, put me in your front porch. Is it porch you call it? I mean, like that cubicle in front. You know, there's some cubicles here. Actually, there's a door. You've gone through. There's a cubicle. And then you lock me in that front cubicle. And never allow me to enter the real house. Have you let me? Well, you opened the door. Amen? There are people like that. They let Jesus through that and put him in the front cubicle. Just there's a badge. But he has no business into what's happening really in their lives. They deceived themselves. They didn't let him in. Okay? So, to perish is to be cut off from God. Eternally. But the problem is this. People feel like, okay, I don't need God. I'm talking about not you. If you're in church today, I believe that you need God. Amen? Say, I need God. But there are people out there that do believe that I have a good life. I'm smart. I'm intelligent. I don't need God. And sometimes they don't do this deliberately. So there are people who do this just because they don't know. We were like that before. But they now feel that, okay, some people feel that I'm happy to live an eternity without God. But they don't understand what it means. In this world, everything good that you enjoy is God's mercy. The fact that you can breathe is God's mercy. Without God's mercy, you'll be breathing hard. The fact that you can, you know, there's light, there's sunshine. Yeah? Have you ever seen the sunshine rise after a very rainy and wet and dark day and cloudy? I don't know about you, but I feel very grateful. Amen? That's God's mercy. You didn't create the sun. Science did not create the sun. Science is just observing. Science cannot create the sun. Amen? You know, a nuclear bomb, yeah? The force in the sun is greater than 1 billion nuclear bombs. And who made it? God. So everything you are enjoying, even if someone is living an evil life, they are wicked and evil, they are still enjoying God's mercy on this earth. Are you with me? But when they cross over, it's over. So in eternity, for someone to perish means no light. No light. Like darkness. No warmth. Yeah? No love. No hope. Can you see that? Even without any punishment, that's terrible. Amen? It is the goodness of God you are enjoying in this life. And you should appreciate it. Amen? You should what? You should appreciate it. So the Bible says that God resists the proud. But he gives grace to what? I'm telling you the secret of grace. It's not just to say, I have grace, I'm highly favored. You know, there are people that are committing fraud. But they go to church and say, I'm what? Because they have money. They committed fraud, but they have money. So they say, I'm blessed and what? And that's not God. Amen? To have grace, you need to what? Humble. Yeah, welcome, my sister. You need to humble yourself. Humble yourself means I admit that on my own, I'm not sufficient. Amen. Then God pours grace. Yeah? Because you have put yourself in the place where you know that you need him. Amen? Say, I need God. So if I want more grace in my life, what do I need to do? I need to humble myself more. Humility is not a fixed position. It's progressive. It's progressive. So, okay, you've humbled yourself today, yeah? Tomorrow you can humble yourself more because you need more grace. Amen? See, when you are humble, you can hear God clearer. But pride will cloud your spiritual eyes and your judgment. You will be feeling you are okay, but you're not okay. And you can argue with everybody that you're okay, but you're not okay. And you can't hear God because you're not okay. The key is to humble yourself. Amen? So I choose to humble myself. You see, when you humble yourself, you start seeing all the things that were muddled up before. They start making sense. You start come together. You start having light. Amen? You can spend a whole lifetime. Yeah? Not saying what you should say if you don't humble yourself. So I say with me. I'm saying mine. I don't know, but say with me. Say, I choose to humble myself before the Lord. Hallelujah. You can see here in verse 7, it says, so humble yourself before the Lord. Or another version says, submit to God. Then resist the devil. You can't successfully resist the devil if you don't first humble yourself before the Lord. It's a necessary step. So to resist the devil, I need to first submit to God. Because the reason is this. You can't resist the devil in your power. You can't blow the devil up with a nuclear bomb. That's something that the devil can conjure it and lock him up. Where? In Russia? And then, let me not go there. You can't blow him. He's spirit. If you put it, we'll just navigate through it. Because the lake of fire where it's headed for is worse than a nuclear bomb. But you need God's power, God's wisdom, yeah, revelation, understanding to resist the devil. Amen? So, the first key of having a lasting victory over Satan in any aspect of your life is for you to humble yourself before the Lord. Then your understanding will be opened. Once you can see, yeah, you will not stumble and fall into the ditch. But if you can't see, no matter what you're doing, you will keep stumbling into the ditch. Amen? So I wanted to ask you a question. So that was a bonus. The question is this. We're talking about spiritual transformation. We already started discussing it. What is the purpose of life? Why are you alive? Why are you here? Yeah? Why are you kicking? Why do you take your children to school? Why do you go swimming? Anybody who swims? I've given up on that. Anybody who is a swimmer, good swimmer. You look like someone who will be a good swimmer. Anybody? Yeah? Or anybody take their children swimming? I'm almost through that. Maybe six more months. It's been a journey since 2010. So 12 years. Going to Accra every week. And yet you know that I don't swim. I'm just a spectator. Amen? Amen? What is the whole purpose of it all? Anybody who has a job? Come on, I expect you all to have a job. Come on. Say, I have a job. Come on, you have a job. Even if you're a student, it's a job. Even if you are aspiring to something, yeah, it's a job. Amen? May you not be jobless in Jesus' name. You know, the idle mind is the devil's workshop. Now, let me explain to you. Your job is not just only the one you go to do officially. Your job is every way you add value. Anything you're doing in your life that adds value to another, yeah, is good work. Amen? Anything you're doing that has value is what? It's good work. It's like one of the times we had a home meeting, one of our brothers in this church. He saw my front garden and something was wrong. I didn't even know. With all the signs that I didn't know. He had that knowledge, but I never had it. But he added value. That's a good word. Amen? Say, I will keep adding value. You can never be useless if you are adding value. There's a time in my life, you know, if I see everywhere messed up, like in the house, I like a neat, clean house. You don't have to, but I just like it. So if I see this mess up, I'm so worked up. And I'm shouting on everybody, you know, fix that. I've changed. Hopefully for the better. So now, I've decided, the one I can do, I will do it. And I will not complain, I'll just do it. And the one I can't do, I will what? I will leave it. I will not complain, I will just what? Leave it. It's wisdom. You have more peace. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the purpose? Why are we here? Why are you living? You know, sometimes people go to, if you go to a hard time, you could ask yourself. I mean, we have to talk real. I like to talk real. I don't like forming. We have to talk real. So sometimes in your life that things are not going the way you want it. And you just feel so miserable. You feel like, why am I even alive? So let's revisit. What is the purpose of life? Okay. There are sometimes in your life you made a mistake. You feel so miserable. You're like running away. There are some people that do it. They actually even move out of town and they go and relocate to another town in the hope that the new town will make them a new person. The new town cannot make you a new person. The change must happen from the inside out. Amen? If you move to a new town, I was not planning to say that, but I'm there anyway. Give it time. The old person continue to manifest. To have a new life, yeah, you need to change from the inside out. And you need God. You need what? God to have a new life. Praise God. Now, what is the purpose of life? There's some answers. Just give me purpose of life in what? Few words. A line or two. Yes.
glorify God.
To glorify God, yes. More? 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 I can take like 6-7 answers. Yes?
To find truth.
To find truth. To glorify God. To find truth. More? More? That's popular. You can give me some funny answers too. Like when I was growing up, in my culture, like my mother, it's not my culture anyway. My mother's culture. They say that. There's a common thing to say that the reason why you came to life is to have children. And it's so unscriptural and so misleading. Did Jesus have children? Did Jesus have a wife? No? Jesus, did he have a wife? sorry, if I started. Did Jesus have a wife? Yes? Did he have a wife?
No.
No. So how can he even have children? Are you with me? Yes? More. Purpose of life.
Make it to heaven?
Get to heaven, yes, but again. That's my boy. It's good answer, but I won't take it because if it was get to heaven, why did you come at all? You know, like, I came from God. God is in heaven. So if I'm coming here to get to heaven, well, why did I come? Why did I just stay? Yeah, but it's a good answer. I just wanted to show you that. It's more than that. But it's important.
To worship God.
To worship God, yes. Worship, glorify, find truth. More. Come on. Be imaginative. You can't be wrong.
To fill the earth.
I like that. You know why I like it? You know why I like it? It's in the Bible. Open your Bible to Genesis. Open your Bible to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. I think it's verse 26. Let's see now. Genesis 1. Yes, I'm going to let her read it because she gave me the answer. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Please look at it. Look at it for your good. Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Please follow as our sister reads.
So, God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground.
Amen. So, it's like God created human beings, and the first thing he told them was, let me say it in simple language, because sometimes when people read, they just see the only reproduction, having children. That's not mean of being fruitful and multiplying. To be fruitful and to multiply means that everything that God has put in you as a potential, yeah, comes out flourishing. That's fruitfulness. Are you telling me that the only thing that God has put in you is a seed and an egg? You're not even just flesh. You're a spirit. You're a soul. Amen? Amen? God has put potential in you. And when that potential comes out, yeah, in the positive way that glorifies God, you are fruitful. When it comes out in a way that glorifies the devil, you are wasteful. When you are fruitful in a negative way, you are wasteful. Amen? That what? You're wasteful. Something happened in Brixton recently. If you follow the news. There's a Nigerian artist who is very wasteful. Sorry to say that. I'm talking of Christian perspective. God gave him talent and skill. But all he thinks about is idolatry and immorality. That's wastefulness. Yeah? But that's not the saddest part of the story. So this is O2 Brixton Academy. I've never been there. I've been to Brixton for African shopping. Well, I've never been there to this place. I'm just following the news. So this happened about a week ago. The venue is packed full of people, like sardines, you know, like sardines and everything. And it was full, and people were still trying to get in. Now, this was icy day. It was very icy and cold. But people traveled from all over to listen to idolatry and what? And immorality. And yesterday I was looking at the news, and a young lady, 33, you know, died because she was crushed. What I'm wondering in my heart is that possibly some of the people who went there, they go to church. Hello? Like, if you have, I don't know the numbers, but if you have 1,000 people or 2,000 people, there are some day that they go to church on Sunday. Yeah? But they are happy to go and invest their time in somebody who is speaking rubbish, idolatry, and immorality. That's half-baked Christianity. This is a Christian that smells, that God hears the hodo and he turns his face. Yeah? Are you with me? So to be fruitful is to use your potential in a way that brings results that glorify God. Amen? If it doesn't, you are wasteful. You with me? Okay, so let me now arrive at the final reason, because it will put everything together. Open your Bible to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I opened a few verses to just revisit what the purpose. Why am I alive? It's a question you should have the answer to. Because when life shakes you, you need an answer. Hello? When things are not going right, and when things are going too right, you know, like, you hit a jackpot. You need to know the purpose of your life. There are people that jackpot has ruined. Did I say that right? How do you say it? Jackpot has, what? Let me pronounce the word. Ruin. Mm-hmm. Ruin.
Ruin.
Yeah. Okay. It's not with me. It's not with me. Come back into the church. Come back. Your mind went somewhere. Jackpot has ruined some people's lives. They won a jackpot. Search the internet and it ruined them. Because they don't what? They don't have what? Purpose. They don't know their purpose. Revelation 4:11. Who is ready? Yes? Anyone? Revelation 4:11? Nobody? Kevin? Revelation 4:11? Do you have it? Anybody has it? Yes. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Yes. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11.
I'm reading from NLT.
We are looking at the purpose. Why am I alive? Why am I here? Why am I on earth? I need to know the purpose. If I know my purpose, yeah, I have a good motivation. Whether in good times or in bad times, I know my purpose. If I don't know my purpose, now, please, before you read that, let me explain something to you. There are many books on purpose. But if you're a child of God, if you believe the Bible, you need to understand that you don't get to define your purpose. You know why? You did not make yourself. Only the manufacturer or the maker of a product can define its purpose. The product cannot define its purpose. Yeah? Hello? Only the person that invented and designed and made something can define its purpose. Your purpose is defined before you existed. That's why you came. Are you with me? So you sit down and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. That's my purpose. No. No. You don't get to define your purpose. You get to find out your purpose. And you get then, once you understand your purpose, to fulfill your purpose. Because if you define your purpose, you can go off and do your own thing. I was in a service yesterday. He said, one of the master definitions of sin is doing it your way. When you do it your way, it causes sin. Because every time you say, I'm going to do it my way, you're kicking God out. Then when you run in trouble, you say, Lord, help me to fix it. But immediately you fix it, please get out again. Or go back to the cubicle. Yeah? It's the one who we define. Then once you understand your purpose, you run with it. And because it's the one defining it, it gets to help you. Because you are on his pathway. And when you miss it, it gets to redirect you back. Because he has a plan. God has a plan. And he has the purpose. Let me say it another way. Say, God is a God of purpose.
God is a God of purpose.
And because he has a purpose,
he also has a plan.
Hallelujah. And to me, I don't know how it sounds, but it's reassuring to know that God has a plan for my life. Amen? And if I cooperate with him, we'll get to destination. Amen? And if I'm on God's plan, it is possible that I miss it because I'm human. But he knows the way. Amen? Once I turn to him, I say, Lord, I missed it. If you don't pray that prayer, you're not finding your way. Hello? Have you ever used a sat-nav? When you miss it, what do you need to do? Everybody in my younger days, yeah? Before I got a sat-nav, please understand my story. In this country, I was driving with my wife. You know, she's my partner for life, yeah? So, our first speed journey was just airport, you know, just from Guildford to Heathrow. We printed the map. I was driving. It was constant argument. Because I will miss the way and I will blame her. I was like, you didn't tell me. And then there was a day I missed the same exit 3 times in that day. Amen? When you missed it, the first thing is acknowledge that you what? You missed it. That's the key to finding your way back. Amen? But I will show you why you will not acknowledge it, that you missed it. Why will you not acknowledge that you missed it? Tell me. Anybody? As a human being, why will you not acknowledge that you missed it? Let's start from my young man.
Because of pride.
Because of what? Please, let's look for other names of pride. There are many names. That's why sometimes you don't know it's pride.
Stubbornness.
Thank you. That's a good one. Yes, more? Egoism. You also say that again? Egoism or ego. Yes, more? Come on. Other names for pride. Come on now. You can do better. Hello, guys. Denial. I like that one. More? We can all go around and have an option. Come on. Try. More words for pride. Can I give you one of them? There's one called obstinate. Being obstinate. Those are very deep words. Yes, more? Come on. Help me. It's coming. Rationalization. Still pride. You rationalize because you want to admit. Do you agree? Yeah, more? Come on, try. You can give me a French word. I don't mind. Yeah, more? More? Yeah, but I'll put that in his own class. Amen. Even behind hypocrisy is pride. You're trying to project something that you are not. Let me give another word for pride. I know this may surprise you, but it's the truth. Self-esteem. In fact, let's piece self-esteem. What does it mean of self-esteem? The esteem of what? Of self. Pride. But someone says, what if my self-esteem is low? I say, yeah, you're looking the wrong place. You need God's esteem. Amen? You need to put him there. If you look at him, he will move your life forward. If you are posing your self-esteem, you're going to act selfishly. And you're going to try to, when you're posing self-esteem, you blame others. You never blame yourself. Because your esteem is already, self-esteem is the exaltation of self. And that's the meaning of pride. Pride means the exaltation of self. So every time, we're talking about transformation. Sin is every time I choose self above God. Not Satan. Nobody chooses Satan. Wait, let me ask you. Anybody here likes to choose Satan? Anybody like to follow Satan? Anybody like to go the way of Satan? Nobody. Do you want? I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. But I tell you, that decision is not the day, only day you got born again. It's to follow him in every detail. For example, Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, it says, be angry, but do not sin. That's Jesus. That's his way. So, he's not saying you can't be angry because you know you can be angry. Sometimes you need anger to do the right things. Yeah? For example, if everybody's doing the wrong thing and it doesn't annoy you, how will you change it? But it says, the moment your anger is out of control, you are sinning. So, if I'm going to be angry and not sin, it must be under control. You can't say, oh, but this person provoked me. Yes, the reason why you're angry is that you can't be angry if something has not provoked you. That's not in news. Amen? But are you going to follow Jesus now and say, you know what? I'm angry. But are we not what? Sin. I tell you something. To sin, you need to use either your mouth or your actions. If you are angry, but you can control your mouth or your hands or your feet, you will not sin. Amen? That's the way of Jesus. That's the way of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's transformation. Transformation is putting God above self. Every time the devil wants to get you, yeah, he appeals to something in you, in yourself. So if I invest more, see, if you are investing yourself in the things that promote self, your spiritual eyes will be closed. You won't see. You know why? Self is in front. It's in front of your spirit. Every time your spirit wants to see, self will jump. Ha! You can't see. You get it. I want you to get it because I want you to go with this picture. You know, let's open. I was sharing this with someone during the week. Let me show you this. When I was a younger Christian, this was confusing me a lot. But I understand it more perfectly. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's see how we're doing with time. Hebrews chapter 12. Open to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Yes. This is the Bible. Say with me, say that this is the Bible. Because I know, as a pastor, yeah, many Christians are not engaging with their Bible. They go off with a few things they know, and that's all there is to the faith. They summarize the faith in a few things. That's why God gave you the Bible. And that is the Word of God. Pay attention to it. Yeah? Pay attention to it. Those are the keys that will help you be transformed. Amen. Hebrews 12:14. Yes? Yeah, let me give someone else. Yeah, I can.
Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living at holy life for those who are not holy will not see the Lord.
Amen. What version was that, please? New Living. Thank you. Now, can I have New King James just for completion? Hebrews 12:14, New Living. Listen, receive this. This is the Word of God. Yes? Yes? Yes, that's right. That's right.
Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord.
Okay, so question. Because sometimes I like to be very simple. The Word of God is not complicated. This, where we're reading now, is it Old Testament or New Testament? Sorry? The writer of Hebrews, is he writing to Christians or Jews? Christians. Is in the New Testament, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to believing Jews. Christians. What is he telling us to do there? So what are the action points? Tell me. Just two things he told us. He told us two things and told us the benefit. Yeah?
To live in peace.
But say it in the King James language. King James language. What does he tell us to do? Just take that again from King James or you won't say it. Yeah.
Follow peace.
Do you know that there's a difference between saying follow peace and live in peace? Please, can anyone tell me? This is just grammar. What's the difference between saying telling someone follow peace and telling another person live in peace? It's a slight difference. They're similar, but there's a subtle difference. Anyone? Subtle. Just subtle. Just a minute. Come.
One's an active pursuit of peace.
Thank you. That's why sometimes I always say, yeah, no matter what you do, go back to King James or New King James. If you want original, as diluted, it's confusing you, come to your pastor. We explain it. But don't just stay in one diluted version of the Bible all your life. You will lose meaning. Live in peace is not from follow peace. Or in fact, I was write it. I was saying pursue. Chase it. Amen? He's putting the responsibility on you. I said, why did it happen? Well, it was my brother that did it. I get that with my boys all the time. You know, so why did that? Because it was because this other person did not do this other thing. So that's why I'm stuck doing this. No. It's a responsibility on you. Say the responsibility is on me. Do you know why? You can't fully control what the other person will do. And if you try to, you're going to be frustrated. Hello? Everybody has a will. Many times you are trying to impose your will on another person. Yeah? And that will lead to abuse and violence and all that. You have to accept that there are times that you can't have your way. And that's just life. Huh? Take it to the Lord in prayer and wait there. It's your job to pursue it. Pursue peace. It means that if I see trouble coming, yeah? And you ought to learn to identify when trouble is coming. If you are living somewhere, you are in a situation, over and over again, something is happening. There's a pattern. This also applies to overcoming sin or resisting sin. Things happen in a pattern. You begin to look at the signs, the indicator of that pattern. It happened before. It happened thrice, four times. You saw how it started. You saw what happened, the final result. That includes when you could not control yourself. Everything you do wrong in life is a temptation. Even when you are dealing with people, you are being tempted to do the wrong thing. We may call it they are provoking you. It's still a temptation because you have to choose whether I will do it or not. Yeah? So the way is, look at the signs. The last time it happened, you lost control. It has come again. You should see some similar patterns. The devil has no need to. Same pattern. Once you see that pattern, say, oh, you know where it's going to. You know the end result. Then many Christians, you just throw yourself into it. Sorry, let me digress. We're running off. Few times I've come across the news, and it's very painful when you hear that people were playing on the icy water and then they fell in and they died of, you know, it's very heartbreaking. Yeah? But the question is, once it has come out in the news once, every child, every adult you know, don't play on icy lake. It's a pattern. Just don't do it. Don't do it. It's a pattern. So look at the pattern. Look, don't deceive yourself. It's your self-esteem, the promotion of self, your ego, yeah, your pride. You know, I teach this. Even I teach about jewelry. I said, you know, I'm not against jewelry, but I said, and I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. There's no one in the Bible that always says that you should put on jewelry. That doesn't mean jewelry is bad. The problem of jewelry is that it should not dominate you. Don't let it what? Dominate. Say with me, say, don't let it dominate you. Don't let it be out of control. You know why? What is the purpose of jewelry? Why do you wear jewelry? I didn't mean to say, but let's just do it. Why? Anyway, yes. Just I know Sister Amanda, what I like about that, she's very down to what?
To shine.
To shine. To what?
To shine, to look pretty.
To shine. More? Don't be ashamed. I'm wearing the ring. That makes you feel better. Yes? It's a promotion of self. Jewelry never promotes your spirituality. It promotes your carnality. That's why you need to keep it moderate. Because if it now dominates you, yeah, self will dominate you. It's like it's a stronghold. So I'm not saying you can wear your earring, whatever, but keep it under what? Control. This is what I'm trying to say. Don't let it dominate you. When it dominates you, it's an idol. It's like money. I need money. Anybody needs money. If you don't need money, no problem. After service, come to me. I don't even take cash or check. I just give my bank details. Even I need money. But money must not dominate me. You understand? When money dominates me, I will do anything for money. And we can be sure that any other thing you're doing for money, when it's dominating you, yeah, is a sin. Because you're not going to put God first. Self. Your spirit is behind. You see, when something dominates you, yeah, you are being controlled by self, no longer God. Because it jumps ahead of your spirit to take charge. And I don't want to be there, because once we are there, the problem is that. So Bible says pursue peace. Let me see, I need to round up. So pursue peace, yeah? Because remember, I'm not saying you should not wear jewelry. I'm saying that you should keep it under what? Control. In fact, sometimes dare yourself and take it all off. Just to tell you that you are not controlling me. Amen. So sir, I can't do it without my wedding ring. It's not your wedding ring that made you married. Amen. It's your heart. A covenant with God. Yeah? Remember that. Just remember that. So, pursue peace. But that's not where I was going. The second command is what? Pursue what? Holiness. Say with me, I need to pursue holiness. You know what holiness is? Holiness is a consciousness that I need to remove all the corrupting influences of the world in my life. If I'm not sensitive, they will come in. They don't need permission. They will come. And they will dominate you. You will just find out you are doing everything the world is doing. Because that's the fashion. Like, for example, that lady that went to that something, she may be going to church. She has two children. Do you understand me? She's 33 and she's a mother of two. This lady is in Brixton. She's a mother of two. But why did she go? She may be going to church. I've no research, but I won't be surprised. She may even be making confession. Yeah? Like you confess. My God will never fail me. Yeah? But what led her there? What attracted her? It's the corrupting influence of the world. I just want to have a good time with my friends. Yeah? Now, God is not against you having a good time. But what is the content of your good time? What is the influence of your good time? So, you're a Christian, you're going to sit down in a place where profanity. I had to just sample a session of this profanity to understand that why are people chasing this person? Profanity, that is profanity. The flesh like profanity. You know what I mean by profanity? Yeah? Sinful talk, sinful speech. That's flesh. Amen? Are you with me? So, holiness is to understand that you belong to God. So I belong to God. Is that a good thing? That's so empowering. It's not that I'm dying to, oh God, I need to be holy, so I need to pick this. No. It starts from the question that I belong to God. I'm special. I can't just stoop low and do some things. Because I am just special. Say I'm high quality. Say I'm high quality. Yeah, you're saying for yourself. You are high quality. What are you? I'm high quality. That's why I will not corrupt myself. It's not because I'm afraid of God. It's because I love God. Amen? And love is more powerful than fear. Amen? I love God. So I'm not going to corrupt myself. Say, I'm the light of my world. I'm quoting the Bible. He said, you are the light of the world. So, but how can you have a light and you can't hide it? You can't hide it in Brixton Academy. I'm the salt. What does salt do? Well, in our modern world, we don't understand salt because salt is all about taste. But in the old world, there was no refrigeration. Anybody likes bacon? 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 Oh, yeah. Bacon is a product of salt. Because there was no fridge, there was no freezer. So they would just salt in it. So that keeps it longer. So our job is to preserve our world. I know the world is getting bad and worse. I know there are trends in the world, fashion trends in the world. Different type of things are going on in the world. Even in body piercing, everything is being pierced. Yeah? But we know that. We're not denying the real world. We're not. I understand. I'm living in the real world. But what difference am I going to make? I'm the one to preserve it. So if I don't preserve the old world, I want to preserve the one around me. Amen? Salting them. Amen? Salting them. Yeah. And because the company you keep around you will affect your life. If you salt in your world, it comes back to pay you. But if I allow the word, to deteriorate, and you are an example, yeah, of deterioration, all you're going to get is more. It never ends. It never stops. It never stops. It always gets worse and worse. Amen? Say, I'm the light. And I'm the salt. Let's leave it there. So I hope you got a good example of transformation. That to be transformed, there are two enemies of your transformation. Pride and self, or selfishness. And pride is the exaltation of self. Every time God has his way in my life, above self, he is glorified. Every time I choose self above God, devil is glorified. You don't have to sign up to devil. Just choose self. Because what made the devil is that he chose himself above God. Let's rise up and talk to God. And if you apply these principles in any part of your life, any problem, any area, change must happen. Because change always starts with God. Change never starts with devil. It starts with God. You humble yourself. You submit yourself. You yield yourself to the word of God. You stay there, persevere there. Change is coming.